You know, I was thinking of what the Lord told Lloyd about tearing us up. I had a word from the Lord. I was asking him, are we doing right around here and everything? And the Lord said, I'm going to remove a few people, and I'm going to add a few people, and then I'm going to, how did that go? I'm going to make this church, so that, you know where it says, the pillar and ground of the truth? That's a Bible saying, the pillar and ground of the truth. And I know it was the Lord, because I've never used that scripture, never preached it. The pillar and ground of the truth. And I was just delighted with that. I was delighted with that. I doubt that I'll be here. I don't know how long it's going to take. But boy, is the world going to need it when we see the things that are going on, the crazy doctrines that are being preached, and people don't know the difference. So I thought that went along with what Lloyd said, the pillar and ground of the truth. So you see if that happens. Just see if that happens like that. Oh boy, is Tirzai here? Where is she? Oh, you got her there. I got to get over there. I've never seen that baby. But pretty soon she'll be in our home, I think, coming with Rebecca. Well, Lord, there's a lot on my heart today. And I'll get it all messed up unless you straighten it out and make it speak to everyone. So help me to speak the truth and everyone to understand where it will apply to him or her. And we just love you, Lord. We want to do your will. Amen. Now, I've been teaching about the Feast of Tabernacles for years. And the other night, in the middle of the night, the phrase came to me, the Lord will suddenly come to his temple. Well, I'll tell you, it scared me. I thought, what in the world is that going to be like? And, you know, if I've been preaching the right thing, you know, all this went through my mind. And let's see if I can find, there's several scriptures that say that. I'm going somewhere with this, don't worry. I know what I'm doing up here, but I got so much written down. I want to get, there are several scriptures. Why can't I ever find them? I get them already and I can't find them. Well, anyway, you know, I've preached on John 14:23. There's quite a lot of verses that talk about God being in us. And when we get saved, we're saved through the blood of the cross. And then that's Jesus that we emphasize. And then we come to Pentecost, and that's this Holy Spirit that we emphasize. And the third great work of God is the Father and the Son coming to make their abode in us. And I've been preaching that for years. Lloyd, could you put that up, John 14:23? I'm trying to feel my way along here because there's so much going on. John 14:23. How come you had that prior verse on there, Lloyd, about Malachi?
Suddenly comes to his temple. So.
Oh, you're a foxy quiller. I want to get to that because that's a key verse, but as usual, Lloyd's ahead of me. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. in other parts of the Bible tells us God wants to also find rest in us. And he wants to put his throne in us. Three things: home, rest, and throne. That's what God is after. And I don't want to always be perceived as downing heaven. I'm not downing heaven. The sooner I get there, the happier I'll be. But heaven served for 2,000 years as a placeholder. That's a term used in mathematics, a placeholder. Heaven has given us something to think about and to hope for. It's been great. But now God is showing us that that's not his goal for us. We like it because it sounds like we're just going to have fun all day. And there's nothing wrong with that. God didn't create us to be miserable. You may think so sometimes, but he didn't. He's heading us toward righteousness, love, joy, and peace. All we'll be able to handle. But you see, what God is after is to make us his dwelling place. See, we're interested in going to heaven. God's interested in, he needs a home, he needs a place of rest, and he needs a place to put his throne. So we're down among people where they can fellowship with God. God loves people. So we're not really turned on to that, I suppose, most of us, because we'd far rather just go where it's all wonderful and skip all the details. But you see, there's a problem with that. And that problem is our evil nature. Even in Corinth, in the church in Corinth, when you get to the last couple of chapters of 1 Corinthians, you'll see they're doing just like we do today, gossiping, backbiting, hatred, everything you could think of. Just like we do today. It's been that way through the Christian era. It has never changed. Because the change from being just people with all our problems and unrest, God hadn't made provision. He first of all forgave us through the cross. And then he gave us the Holy Spirit, and that's all important because, you see, it's the Holy Spirit in it who prepares the way for the Father and the Son. They do not come into the Adamic nature. In Colossians and Ephesians, it talks about the new man, and someone referenced that today. So what God is after is total change in us. And we think, yeah, I like me the way I am. Someone used to say, I've got to be me. Well, I can understand that. We all feel that way. But the first Adam is not fixable. He's not fixable. He's just messed up by nature. Can anybody think of a verse where it says that God is going to make us altogether new? Anybody? I bet Hal knows one. You know one where God is going to make us altogether new? Anybody? 2 Corinthians 5, 6, 17. That was the first verse the guys in the Marine Corps taught me. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, is the word. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Well, I was told that'll happen when you accept Christ. Just accept Christ. oh, they're after me to accept Christ, which was all folly because I had previously, a couple of nights ago, read a book and accepted Christ, but I could perceive it would make them happy to believe they had led me to the Lord, and so I shut up, but the Lord led me to the Lord, is what happened. But anyway, these are all good brothers, and they said, you'll be a new creature, Well, how many know that it doesn't happen right away? Lloyd's hand shot up like a missile. It doesn't happen right away. It's God looking at what he's after. See? Old things have passed away. All things are of God. Think of that. And then in Ephesians, in about chapter 3, verse 21, it says, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, that's what it says about Jesus. In him dwell the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. But these Ephesians were saved and filled with the Spirit. And Paul was praying for them that they might be filled. Yeah, I hear that. That he might be filled. That's Teresa trying to preach. That we might be filled with all the fullness of God. How many would enjoy that? Amen. Several people. Now, that came to me in the middle of the night. The Lord shall suddenly come to his temple. And I got a sense. I've always believed this. I've been preaching this John 14, 23 since 1948. And I've always believed it. But all of a sudden, it was real to me. And it scared me. It scared me. It frightened me. The thought. And I thought, what am I getting myself into here? What am I teaching the people? But then God brought several scriptures to my mind, one of which was Malachi 3, one was John 14, 23, and one was Ephesians 3, and so on. I began to see that's solid scripture. See, what the Lord said, he's going to make this church the pillar and ground of the truth. So there's no talk about cults or anything else. We're not interested in anything except God's truth. That's all we care about is God's truth. So we all want that, don't we? What it delights me is when I hear the kids, young people, pardon me, from the TNT, which can be explosive at times, can it? TNT has that potential. And it delights me when I hear them say, the Lord told me. You see, where we're going, the big issue, Vi, in the kingdom is the doing of God's will. That's the big issue in the kingdom. Thy will be done. Today, most of the world, including most of the church, and you can rebuke me if I'm wrong in this, you're all church people, don't believe, they don't understand that doing God's will is possible. They love their religion and they love their Savior, but the idea of living by God's will is not something that you hear very often. Hear someone say, the Lord spoke to me today. And it isn't just the Lord speaking. It's that you're so in communion with Jesus that you know at any given moment whether you're doing God's will, if you're doing, and as you know, and I've told you many times, I pray about everything, every aspect of life, no matter what I'm doing. I'm saying, Lord, what do you want? Is this what you want? Is this where you are? And it has brought the presence of God to me. But I have not in my Christian life heard many people, ministers or people of the congregation, talk about that intense pursuit of God. So when we talk about God filling us with his fullness, if that's to be the case, we must be a person who desires the will of God more than anything else, more than any person, more than any accomplishment, more than the pursuit of money. And you see, most church people enjoy their religion, they enjoy the Lord, but it's like, reminds me of what David Wilkerson said, a Christless Pentecost. You get all absorbed in the things of Pentecost, somehow Christ is not visible, he's not personally, he's not right there. And if we're going to be filled with the Spirit, the Father and the Son, then we're going to be living by the will of God in everything that we do. And the reason people would not readily grasp that, although it's the truth and it's going to happen, if it takes World War VII to do it, we're going to get to the place where we're glad, Brother Ron, to relinquish our ambitions, our talents, our hopes, everything. And that does not mean we have nothing. You see, because God's way is this. If you give me all that you are and have, I will give you all that I have and am. Now that's the deal. I present it to you again. I'm not talking monkey business. And you take it before Jesus and say, is that man telling us the truth or is he not? God said, if you give me all that you are, and all that you have, your hopes and dreams, your ambitions, your love of adventure, novelty, change, if you give all that to me, I will give you all that I am and have. Now, if you think that God didn't say that to me, then ask him. Jesus said, Father, all that I have is yours. See, that's the goal. And it's so hard because, mercy, we're people. We have a life experience. We have desires. We have joys. And then God comes along and says, I want all that. Give it to me. I spent, I guess, the last year, maybe 2 years, not touching the piano, not touching it, because there wasn't time to write down what God was showing me for his people. Now, I dearly love to play the piano. As Audrey and Rebecca will testify, but there wasn't time for both. So I'm not preaching something I'm not experiencing. I am telling you the truth. Because I know the Bible principle, there's no man that has given up this or that, but he'll receive 100-fold. And I know I will. But I don't do it for that reason. I do it because I love God and I want to obey Him. And I know that's a gift. I realize it's a gift. And I would like to share it with everyone, that your consuming passion would be to find God's will at every moment and to do it. It's a joy, you know. Who was it said? I delight. There's someone around here not too far that's called, whose name means, "You are my delight." Her Hebrew name is Tirzah. But it means, "You are my delight." And David said, "I delight to do your will. I delight to do you. I'd rather do your will than I would eat hot dogs. I just love your will. I wish I could get, I know it's a gift to me, but I would not say such things unless it was genuine. I'm not trying to impress you with anything. I'm going somewhere with this. And it has to do with what God told Lloyd and told me." So I woke up at night, and with this in my mind, I will suddenly come to my temple, and I realized what God was saying. And I thought, "Whoa, I don't know if I'm up to this or not." Because to be filled with all the fullness of God, think of that, to be filled with all the fullness of God. But I know it's true because it's here. I know it's true. And I don't care. People can say, "Oh, you're a cult," or whatever. Well, I say, if you believe in the rapture, you're in a cult. If you believe in lawless grace, you're in a cult. And if I believe in being filled with all the fullness of God, I'm in the Bible. Hallelujah! Fill with all the fullness of God, brother. Fill with all the fullness of God. That means, as we saw in the offertory, you're dead. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now ask yourself, am I willing to set aside my own life? Am I willing to give up my ambitions and my abilities and all the things to get what I don't know what it's like? Just be assured from the Word, it's far better than anything you'll ever have out of your carnal nature. I do get enthusiastic. Now, I want to, let's go to that verse now, Lloyd's favorite verse. And it's in Malachi 3, 1 through 3. "I will send my messenger." That messenger is John the Baptist, but it's also in these days probably a company of people who will prepare the way before me. And then came what came to me in the middle of the night, and I didn't even know where it was, and I put on my search routine, something like it, and there were 68 choices, and I said, I've got to have something closer to that. So I don't know what I ended up with, but finally up came Malachi. "Then suddenly the Lord who you are seeking will come to his temple." That's you! Ephesians, the second chapter, tells we're being built for a habitation of God through the Spirit. We better see that, because I'm making a lot of noise up here, Lloyd. It's Ephesians 2, I think, 21 through 23, because you might not believe it. "In him," who do you suppose him is? Christ. Man, you're quiet. Are you afraid I'll yell at you? "In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." It's the Holy Spirit that does all this. It makes a place for the Father and the Son. Now back to Malachi so you can see what it's talking about. The Lord isn't going to come to the temple in Jerusalem. We are the temple of God. That's in Acts 7, at the birth of the church. What house will you build me? What is the place of my rest? Hey, Lord, that's in Acts 7. You get that while we're looking at Malachi. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant. Jesus is the messenger of the covenant. The covenant is eating his flesh and drinking his blood. This is the new covenant. But now we get down to where the rubber hits the road. But who can endure the day of his coming? You see, we had all this stuff that we've got our eyes on. This is what God wants. This is where God is. He's searching out in you and in me a dwelling place. Lord, did you find that in Acts 7, Stephen, just before he was killed, where the Lord repeated Isaiah? I'll tell you where God's heart is. 749. And keep your big toe in Malachi. Verse 49. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things? Go ahead. You stiff-necked people, and so on. That's just the place I wanted to show you. That God, when the church was born, when Stephen was martyred, God spoke about his house and his resting place. And then Paul told us about it in Ephesians and in other places. All right, we're back at Malachi. Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap, which is, you don't use that anymore because women don't wash clothes over a tub. But it's very strong soap. Any of you ever you put it on poison ivy? Yeah, there's one lady knows about lye soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. How many know what silver represents in the Bible? Redemption. He's going to take our redemption that we've been saved and refine it. You got it in a rough form, and now God's going to refine it. Oh, happy day. But this is for God's benefit, not ours. He will purify the Levites. That's what we are. We're a member of a royal priesthood. And refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have. See, this whole thing is for God. It's not for us. Who will bring offerings in righteousness. Offerings in righteousness. See, this cursed grace doctrine has destroyed everything that God's after, which is righteous people. He's shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord require thee, but to practice righteousness, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. That's all. We don't have to accomplish any big thing in the kingdom. Just do what he said. This is like Sarah Ann. That was such a perfect example of what God, he'll tell you what to do, and when he does, he'll show you the fruit of it. That's what we're after, the day when we live in the presence of God. Anything less than that, I don't want anything to do with. All right, so if anyone opens the door, God will come in. I'm not terrified of it anymore. I thought, God, I can live with this. You've always been gentle with me. I don't think I'm going to blow up like a Chinese firecracker. It'll be all right. It'll be okay. Sarah Ann, it'd be like your whole life is like that. Everything you do is the Lord telling you what to do. Do this, Sarah Ann. Do that. Do that. And you keep responding in a dialogue. Thank you for showing me this. I would have done the wrong thing. Blah, 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 blah. Amen. The rest is dead religion. Dead religion. Dead, 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 dead. But its purpose is to bring us to the place where God has a house and a resting place and a throne, a place for his throne. I can't help it. I get excited. There's one other issue that has come up lately, and I want to explain it a little bit, if I can. And it has to do with repentance. Now, Diane taught us about repentance. She said, you repent for others. How many remember her saying that? And I thought about that. That does not make any sense to me. Repent, repenio is the term in Latin or something, and it means repenio. It means to change direction. That's all. So how can you change direction, Marla, for somebody else? And so I think, and I know Diane, I trust her gift. I know she is accurate, right on, has a true gift. What you mean is for other people, you can ask God to forgive them, and you can ask God to cause them to repent. And I don't know how else you can repent for somebody else other than to say, God, they did a stupid thing. Like some mother that murders her offspring with an abortion. That's rough stuff with God. And all you can do is, God, pray that person, that lady, that they will be sorrowful and repent before God and ask his forgiveness. And that's how we could pray for repent for other people. I don't know how else we could. It's a change of direction. And we can pray for God's forgiveness, as I said, for other people. Then there's a second. There's three. I want to tell you about three. Three forms of repentance. First is intercession for other people. The second is the renewing of the mind. And Lloyd, it's in Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I would say that most practical, workable repentance is this second kind. It just means to renew your mind. It's in Romans 12, 2. Now, years ago when I was in the Marine Corps, I drank beer and smoked cigarettes. I didn't think anything of it till I got saved. When I got saved, nobody told me I couldn't do that. I just knew it was wrong. I just knew it was wrong instinctively. And I quit. Nobody had to pray, lay hands on me. I wasn't struck with lightning. I just said, I'm not going to do this anymore. And I've never smoked a cigarette or drank any beer to this day. There's some things you can just do. You just turn. You go in a different direction. Big deal. And I hope that most of us here have done that many times. Done some, caught yourself gossiping or downing somebody or whatever. So I'm not going to do that anymore. Huh?
Amen.
Thank you. Hello? How can you renew your mind? Well, by meditating in the Bible, by attending church and listening to the pastor rant at you, reading wholesome literature, keeping worldly media to a minimum.
Amen.
Thank you. And by that, something will come up as you're going along and the Holy Spirit will help. All of a sudden you realize, I shouldn't be doing that. That's not right. I say, quit it. Big deal. Mario is listening to me so intently, I'm afraid you're going to fall out of the chair. Now, here comes the heavy. This is heavy. And it's deliverance from bondage. And I've preached this many times, but I haven't always explained how it worked. 1 John 1:9, Lloyd, oh Lloyd-o, you name the sinners, and I'm talking now about, well, I got rid of cigarettes and I got rid of beer. Some people have a terrible problem with beer, and some with cigarettes, and some with drugs, and some with fornication. And they tried and tried to throw it. They can't get it. Audrey was telling me about Brother Cloud's mother who went to the altar 13 times before she got the assurance of salvation. You got to keep at it. You can't say, well, I did what it said. Nothing happened. You got to get at it. You got to make up your mind, Barbara, that this is what I want, and I'm going to get it. Hell can't stand against that very long. You name the sin clearly to the Lord. You don't say, oh, I'm a wicked person, and I've got so many things, I don't know where to begin. You might as well go read a comic book for all the good it'll do you. You got to say, I lied. I fornicated. What does fornication mean? It means having sexual relationships outside of legal marriage. I'm telling you, it's so common in our country. You think, everybody says, well, I'm married in the sight of God. No, you're not married in the sight of God or in the sight of the law or anything else. You're just downright are not married. And what you're doing will keep you out of the kingdom. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. You will not inherit the kingdom if you engage in sexual intercourse and you haven't been married legally. You know, you have to go down to the county and get a certificate. And then you can be married by the person in the county or you can come and be married by a minister. But it's legal in the state of California and your name goes down as Mrs. So-and-so. You don't fool around with fornication and say God married us because he didn't. Otherwise, there'd be no such thing as fornication. It wouldn't exist. What it means is sexual intercourse that is not legal. That's what it means. And it means that you will not inherit the kingdom. And I don't know, am I being plain? Now, some people, they say, well, I tried, but then he came over to the house, and oh, I couldn't resist, I couldn't help myself. That happens. Okay, God understands that. So what do you do? It's not like saying, oh, I'm going to quit whatever. It doesn't work that way for some things. They're deep. Demonic, if you want to know the truth. When you name the sin clearly to the Lord, God will take the fire and life out of it. He will not remove it from you. That kind of thing is not removed from us until the day in which we put on incorruption in the resurrection. That's when all this stuff is taken out of it. When it says put it to death, you name it, God takes the fire and life out of it. But he may leave some fire and life in it because it's in the overcoming that we keep it a thing, that the ruling spirit is formed in us. That's how it formed in us. If you said, oh, Lord, I've got a spirit of fornication, please take it from me. And you expect God to reach down from heaven and pluck it out of you, and you don't have to do a thing, you wouldn't grow. You would not grow. You grow as you wrestle against evil. And you'll see that in Judges in the first three chapters. God left this nation to test Israel, and that nation, and those that had not learned warfare. He left nations to teach them warfare. That does not mean that God's word is not true. God's word says he's faithful and just to forgive you and deliver you from all unrighteousness. That's true. But you have a part to play in it. And that part is to keep praying and resisting. So you fell again. So you pray and resist. You let hell know you're not changing. You don't say it can't be done. The promises, people, are to the overcomers. And as long as there's one thing in your life you haven't overcome, conquered, you're not an overcomer, you're a loser. And the promises are not to you. Revelation 21:7, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. And then to the church in Sardis, in the third chapter of Revelation, he said, you have a few names who will walk with me in white, and I have not blotted out their name from the book of life. And the implication is there in this large mega church in Sardis, that if you don't overcome, you're liable to have your name erased from the book of life, which means the lake of fire. Now, I know how the gospel is preached today by mealy-mouthed, simperaneous people so influenced by humanism that they don't know what's right and what's wrong. What God said, I will not blot out his name from the book of life. You have a few names. Who will walk with me in the white robe of priesthood. And I will not blot out their names. The inference clearly is that if you don't overcome. Now, I want to give you a little comfort here because I know we're all just people here. In Isaiah chapter 42, verses 3 and 4, I believe. Heist them up once. I'll give you a little hope here. But make no mistake. The Bible means what it says, whether people like it or whether people don't. Make no mistake about that, because someday you're going to be standing before Jesus. Someday you're going to stand there and give an answer to Jesus why you made the decisions that you did. All right. Now, notice this, please. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. What do you think that means? We don't use kerosene lamps anymore, so we probably don't know what a wick is. We may not know what a bruised reed, unless you've been out in the swamp working with the, what do you call them things, cat nine tails. It means that if you're a wheat, and there are millions of Christians like this, they want to overcome. They want to, and they keep in God, and every time they sin, they weep. And Jesus will work with them and work with them until he puts in them a conquering spirit. That's altogether different from saying, oh, well, I'm saved by grace, it doesn't matter. Oh, well, God knows I'm weak, so it doesn't matter, so I'm not going to try. I'm not talking about that. There's the woods are full of them. I'm saved by grace, brother. What are you talking about? But those that I just said, the bruised reed and the smoking flax, are not overcomers until God makes them an overcomer. See, he doesn't forsake them. He sees them. He, just like you have a child that's handicapped. You might have two children. One's handicapped and the other's a star athlete. You don't love one more than the other. You're apt to put your attention on the handicapped child. Isn't that true? No, it's not true, is it? Well, the mother's in here. Which child do you attend to, the handicapped or the star athlete? The handicapped child gets 99% of your attention. Because they're handicapped. Well, that's the way God is with people. If he sees that their heart is right, and they want to overcome, they want to please God, they want to act in righteousness, then it says that God will do what? Bring forth justice in their lives. And they will not suffer as the people in Sardis that were going around with dirty garments. See, that's a different category. That's your average category in America, because people have not been taught. See, they have not been taught. They assume everybody's all right. The pastor tells them everybody's all right. And they're all on their way to stand before Jesus in filthy garments. And so we're going to have World War III, because that will make people pray and seek God. And when your life is in danger, your husband's life is in danger, your child's life is in danger, you're going to quit fooling around. You're going to serve God. Boy, nobody say anything. I can't understand. Yes, I do. All right. God will take the fire and life from it. Sometimes he'll just take so much out of it that you have no problem overcoming it in the future. Other times, God leaves it there for you to battle against. And you don't say, I guess he doesn't want to deliver me. He wants to deliver you. He shall deliver you. His word says he shall deliver you. End of story. But you've got to be persistent. You've got to fight. Be prepared to fight. Pray for a fighting spirit. Get others to pray with you. When Audrey and I came into this way, you always ask other people to pray with you. We got away from that, but it helps. It helps if you can find people who don't gossip and tell them, I want to tell you something. I don't want you to tell anybody else, but I want to confess this, and it's a sin. There are people who will not gossip. Never give up. Never give up. How long is never? It never ends. You go down to your grave swinging. I will not have this. Doesn't take that long. To not overcome one sin or one self-will is to be denied the rewards to the overcomer. You're not an overcomer. You're a loser. Who wants to be a loser? To not overcome one sin is to risk the danger of the lake of fire. Revelation 21:8. I will leave you with this uplifting verse. Now remember what I said, you don't have to despair, but you do have to be sincere. No monkey business going out and saying, well, that's Brother Thompson, he's a cult, or he's this, or he's that. Not when I'm preaching you the Word of God. And a cult. But the cowardly. Would you ever expect that to be first? We say, oh, that person, poor old dude, he's a coward. You know. God doesn't look at things that way. You can't be cowardly. You say, well, how do I do that? Just don't be that way. Don't be that way. Straighten up your back and your knees and look the world in the face and say, God is at my right hand. The God of angel armies is by my side. Amen. Yeah. You say, but God loves that poor little thing. No, he doesn't. He wishes that she'd act like a person. You never heard that before. The unbelieving. We wouldn't put that. Our first one would be probably be fornicators and then adulterers and then murderers. People that murdered their grandmother for the insurance or something. Unbelieving. You say, I don't believe. Well, believe. Say, God, I did that in the Marine Corps when I was first presented with the gospel. One night I said, God, give me faith. I don't believe. I woke up in the morning and a voice said to me, you have faith. And I did.
Amen.
I could believe after that, no problem. The vial. You want to know about the vial? Open the newspaper. You'll see all the vial you ever want to see. The things that are done today by people has to be demons. One guy just shot his 6 grandchildren. Can you imagine a grandfather shooting 6 grandchildren? Well, anyway, you know where they're going to have their eternal residence? The murderers. And sometimes you can murder people without shooting them. You murder them with your tongue. The sexually immoral. That's a description of the United States. That's who we are. Sexually immoral. Those who practice magic arts. Well, all I do is read people's feet or tea leaves. I look at the leaves and the cup when they drunk all their tea. Ah, you're going to marry a dark complexion man who lives across the seas. You know any Christian that practices magic arts? Lay your hands down and we'll trace around it and then I'll tell you your future. You know Christians do that? Yeah, it's an abomination of God to seek counsel from astrology. How many here read their astrology in the paper to find out what you're supposed to do or what's going to happen? Don't! The idolaters. What's an idol? What is an idol? Is someone you love more than you love God? Is something that you love more than you love God? As simple as that. If God took it, you'd get mad and have a tantrum, huh? And cry, oh, God took this from me. We got to be free from idolatry. Even with our children, that's hard. And the next group is dear to our hearts. All liars. God tells only the truth. And if God is living in you, the fullness of God, you won't do any of these things. Why? Because you got the victory? Because you're so filled with God that it doesn't fit in your personality. So our goal is to get at these little foxes that spoil the vine, these little sins, and get rid of them and be prepared to fight. Some of them have been in your, they'll say, oh, you don't want to lose me. I feel so good, all this. Get out of here, Satan. I don't want you anymore. God says you don't belong here, and this is his temple. Can you do that? Do you have a fighting spirit? Let's stand. I'm going to pray for us so we'll have a fighting spirit. You got to fight it. Isn't God's not going to pluck it out of you while you muse on whether the word is right or not? Father, in Jesus' name, cast out from this building now all fearful spirits. All spiritual lazy spirits, all business as usual spirits, cast them out from us, Lord. We heard today that you're going to rip us up, and I believe that. And Lord, you're going to come and find people that practice righteousness and not the works of the devil. So, Lord, give us a fighting spirit, an overcoming spirit, and cast out all of the cowardness and the unbelief and everything else that hinders us. God, cast it out today. Hallelujah. So we'll be free of this stuff. In the name of Jesus the Lord. Did I leave out anything? Everybody satisfied? Did I name your problem? If not, tell me what it is so I can pray. I'm in a praying mood.
Any idols.
What?
Get rid of any idols. We're
Lord, we come unto you for idols. God, anything that we love so much that we can't bear for God to take it. I pray, Lord, that you will put the fire on it. We want the fire. You said you would come. We want you to come. We want you to find a house that loves you and does your will and not trying to bring some idol along with the situation. Help us, Lord. We're a needy people. We're not sufficient in ourselves. Anything else?
Stubbornness and rebellion.
What?
Stubbornness and rebellion.
Yeah, those are good ones. Well, I just prayed about idolatry, but let's pray about stubbornness. I don't dare say how many people are afflicted with stubbornness, because every hand in the room will go up. Stubbornness. Jesus, what a thing. It says idolatry as stubbornness. Oh, God, it's a filthy thing. It's an occult thing. We stand against stubbornness in the name of Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God, remove stubbornness from. We're not going to put up with you, stubbornness. We're not going to put up with you for 1 minute. You are a defeated foe. We bring the blood of the cross against you. Stubbornness. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Come against you. We'll not have it. We'll not have it. We pray for a meek and teachable spirit, Lord. A meek and teachable spirit. That we will not harden our heart against instruction. God help us. Anything else? How about headstrong? Is that... ring a bell with anybody? Headstrong. Father, we come to you now for this affliction of headstrong, rushing out, when not seeking any counsel, not doing what we know people expect around us, just pursuing our headstrong desires. Jesus. Jesus, we bind. Listen, if you want it to go, tell it to go. I can't do it all. You're going to have to tell God you don't want it. Jesus does not have a headstrong spirit. God does not have a headstrong spirit. It just gets us in trouble. Lord, we name that thing, and we want it to go out of us altogether. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Oh, there's a good heavenly spirit here. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Though some may... What? How's it going then? Well, Lord, I know that as well as I know my own name. Oh, I'm pressing on the upward way. Heights I'm gaining every day. And there's something about the world.
Still praying as I onward.
Yeah, that'll do. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Hallelujah! 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 Now greet everyone of the same gender with a holy kiss. And then you can go out singing Higher Ground. I wonder where Vi and Rebecca brought that baby. Did they bring it into the... Is there any baby in the cry room?